Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Podcast Tuesday, March 26th, one day closer to the Sweet 16. And Carl, we just got some good news. Our media credential has been approved for the Sweet 16 in Detroit. The Sleepers will be in the building for Purdue's game and the other game in Detroit this weekend. Tennessee Creighton, I'm excited for that. Purdue Gonzaga. Carl, we get to shake the media rust off. We've only done a media trip once this year to Champaign for Champaign, Illinois, Purdue. That was fun. Hopefully we can bring Purdue luck again.
Yeah, we'll try our best. But yeah, it'll be good to shake the media rust off. And now it's another, you know, little stone we can throw in our Thanos glove, and we only have one left. Maybe the new Dusty May era of Michigan will get us approved for credentials there. And that'll be the last stone to put in the glove.
I'll work that. I have a good feeling about that. I'm going to do my best here. How are you? How are vibes today? You ended the show yesterday saying you felt rusty off. Did you shake the dust off?
I do feel a lot less dusty today, Greg.
Well, that's good. It's good to see. Nothing new in your background?
No, just keeping it simple today, getting back to basics. Like I said, this is a head down work type moment. I'm not looking for attention. I'm not looking for people to look for slipper flips. I'm just looking at people to just take me as I am and appreciate the hard work. And second to that, I saw a couple comments about how I look down or look away sometimes when you're speaking or doing things like that. I just want to let it be known. Sometimes I don't do that. I don't do it on purpose. I don't have the same setup as Greg does. I know he's got the double screen setup, which is immaculate. It makes it a little bit easier for him to move his eyes side to side. I got the good old classic other laptop just on my lap. So, you know, if I'm looking down at maybe some stats, some info, some notes, I do the whole look down here or look at my phone as well. But I just want everybody to know that I respect when Gregory is speaking and I am for the most part listening.
Any comment on my comment to you in the Discord that you are shaped like Jelly Roll?
Is that the guy with like a lot of face tattoos who like beat drug addiction?
Yep.
He's a big fella.
Yeah.
I don't have face tattoos.
Well, that's not shape, though. Those are more accents.
I mean, we do have, I would say, similar build. We're definitely of the heftier thing, but, like, hefty boys are up. Like, skinny's out.
Extremely true. It's been a huge week for the hefty boys.
Yeah, like, we're here.
For sure. All right, I'm looking forward to this weekend. Should be fun. Quick update for everybody. Not that anybody cares, but maybe somebody out there does. Really successful NCAA tournament week one for us and the channel. We did 250,000 views in a week. Thank you again to all the people who helped us as on-air talent. Thank you to Jacob Karabatsos, who helped us produce behind the scenes during conference tournament week. Things went extremely well. I think we have proven that this model is somewhat sustainable and that we have a plan going into next year that could be really, really exciting. Hopefully get to continue collaborating with people like this. So good times. Thank you to everybody who watched, commented, liked, subscribed, all of it. Things are going really well and it's helping us make this more and more sustainable. We greatly appreciate it. Why don't you start us off with your YouTube comment of the day?
Let's see. Okay, let's do that. Let's do this. This one comes from Tinker and Play. Love seeing you two together in these videos. Honestly, I'm telling you, I've had my objections about some of your opinions, but that's how it goes. Being successful on YouTube takes one very hard thing: entertainment value. You two have it. No disrespect to the other great guest hosts that you have who are crazy knowledgeable and great, but you two have the chemistry that will take you as far as you want to go. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of men's college basketball punditry YouTube channels out there, but you two together are the best. I'm talking CBS, NBC, Field of 68, doesn't matter. It's like you guys watch this game, love college basketball, and vividly display your love for the sport on this platform for all of us to see. You're about to pass the 10K subscribers milestone, and the sky's the limit for you, Greg and Cart. Please, please, please do as much content together as you can. It's fun, informative, and entertaining. I mean, I watch the video recaps and previews of the teams I never watched before because I want to hear what you two will say. Congrats on your success, and here's to many more. Cheers, beer emoji.
Who commented that? Is that a burner for you?
No. This is Tinker and Play.
That was way too well written to be a burner for you. Is that my burner?
Wait. Okay. Now wait a minute. We've done this before. I got a higher score on the ACT written part than you did.
That is so not true. Why do you always lie on this program?
Is it not true?
Card, I'm sorry, my friend. I crushed the ACT. I crushed it.
Did you? What'd you get?
32.
Damn, you did?
Correct.
Wow, good work. Okay, that's false then.
It is. You just
wait. Okay, but we don't know what the written portion score was.
I mean, we do. The portion I did poorly on was science. I was always horrible at science.
I did horrible on the math part.
Yeah, I was good at math. English was the strongest for me than math.
You are quite a wordsmith.
Unequivocally so.
Indeed.
I appreciate that comment. That was very kind. Thank you. Yeah, I've told Cart for years, the special thing about us is that I have access to him. So as long as
for now,
as long as Steve Manchu's birthday doesn't come up 360 times a year, we should be okay. Shout out to Steve, by the way. He's a legend. Okay, to the Discord. Should we go to the Discord? Yeah, we'll start off with Sandman, who says, I want it to be known in the player draft I'm the only person with four players left, and it's because I cast a wide net with my players. Nets always win. Sandman and me are going to be fighting about nets till the end of time. Good God. You're in like 11th place last I checked, Sandman, so hang the banner for your 11th place net-based team. Incredible stuff. The players draft has been really fun, though. All the little games we put together for March, I've greatly enjoyed. I'm still alive in the survivor pool, and I believe you've been eliminated from all five games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're really bad at games.
I mean, we know what my wheelhouse is. It is not games.
But like, these aren't even games. These are just like college basketball pick things, and you're just.
But it's like so I don't approach it like I need to.
That's probably true.
Like, I'm in these games. Did I want to play these games? No. But, like, for the Discord, we did the draft, and people had draft boards and, like, thought out, like, what they're doing. I got to my pick. People bothered me, and I picked the first player that I saw.
So when we played board games together, Secret Hitler was the real game. You notoriously were so bad at the game that you were somehow good at the game.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't apply to these games, though.
No, I mean, I be myself, and I see how it works out. And stuff like this, it doesn't.
Is there any game that you're good at? Like, any game?
Like, board game-wise?
Yeah, like a something that's like a mental strategy game. Like, not just playing basketball or something. Is there any game that you are good at? Like, are you like a great checkers player or something? Or like... like cards, any card games?
I'm good at phase 10. Good at phase 10. I'm good at Spike Malice. I'm good at Irish poker. That's about it.
Huh, I've never heard of these games. I know you and Meg are big card game people, so I figured you'd be good at something.
I do love phase. I'm a pretty good card player. Like, any card game I'm pretty good at. Okay. Yeah, so I always carry a deck of cards around me with me.
Once again, that's a complete lie, but we'll have to play some cards.
That's not a lie.
You always carry a deck of cards with
if
you.
If I am going somewhere and I have my duffel bag that I
this
take
is
with
not
me.
True. I'm not even letting you do this. This is not
I
true.
Gregory, I swear on our friendship, when I bring my duffel bag with me, you know what duffel bag I'm talking about, that black one that I bring it every single time I come visit you or I fly somewhere. In the side pocket, there's a side pocket and then there's a little pocket right on the inside. There is always a deck of cards in there. Always.
I have been so many places with you. I have never seen a deck of cards come out. Not
why would
once.
Why would I just bring out a deck of cards?
Because you don't have a deck of cards with you. This is
I do have a deck of cards prepared for the moment when someone let's run some cards.
We have to break you out of this lying habit. Like I think you think it's super fun now. Like it's the most innocuous, pointless things you're obsessed with lying about right now. I don't get it.
I could literally go grab my bag right now, and I guarantee you there's a deck of cards right in the side.
Oh, you'd go upstairs off camera and bring down a deck of cards? Yeah, I'm sure you could do that in your house.
God damn it.
Come on. How many trips have we gone together? How many times have you ever brought out a deck of cards? Ever?
Why would I bring out a deck of cards? Just for no reason?
So you have it in there for no reason? You're like, I'm
I have
a
it
big
in there
deck
in
of cards
case,
guy.
I have it in there in case whoever I'm with or the situation calls for a deck of cards being used.
So your deck of cards is Xavier Booker. You're just waiting for the right matchup.
Yeah.
You're Tom Izzo. The cards is Xavier Booker. You've got him. You're just waiting for the right matchup.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right, let's move on. Guy says, for potentially the last time ever, here's your reminder that Daron Holmes II is the second best college basketball player.
I'll just let Guy be himself.
Guy has some really awful takes, man, but I love Guy.
I love Guy too, but like his takes about how he feels about A-10 and Mountain West players, just nasty, nasty behavior.
I'm just getting scared of Guy, but I love Guy, but I'm scared of Guy. Coleman's Burner says, can we get an After Dark channel in the Discord? No.
Yeah, we can't enable that. We can't enable Coleman's Burner.
Discord's getting a little wild, and I'm definitely a part of it. So I need limitations put on me, honestly, sooner rather than later. Sean Vowell says, is sacrificing a couple of first-round upsets worth it if we're seeing the best teams playing at a high level in the Sweet 16 and beyond? I think it probably is. We're going to talk about that in a topic later this episode, so save your thoughts on that. Go Boilers 20 Blake says, my bad for a confusing post. Wanted my comment read on the show. The parenthetical context about Painter's interview was the only part I did not need to be read, but it was not clear. So please, for Tuesday's show, can you read and answer this part? Sometimes the difference between good and great is when something seems to go wrong, but instead it opens the door to great. Purdue lost a point guard transfer, Nigel Pack, most likely. That opened a scholarship for someone else. As a result, Braden Smith was a last-minute replacement. Where would Purdue be if Braden was not the PG conductor of this train for the last 2 years?
I mean, it'd definitely be tough. And also, you're getting like 4 years of Braden Smith. With that said, Nigel Pack and Braden Smith backcourt, kind of fun.
Yeah, I think there's an argument Purdue would have fared better last season if the point guard that went to the Final Four was your point guard instead of who Braden Smith was at the end of the year. Now, yes, of course, it's better for the next 4 years, but there's a lot of – I say this all the time, man. I feel like it's a cop-out now, and people probably are going to make fun of this as a bit. There's a lot of luck involved in this business, a lot of luck. A lot of times you will either get a player or miss out on a player because of pure luck. And that doesn't necessarily, like, is Painter a worse coach because he prioritized Nigel Pack over Braden Smith? If Painter could win a recruitment over Miami, is Purdue worse? Like, that's, he didn't plan to take Braden Smith over Nigel Pack. He didn't win him. So.
Right. So it's like, we can't be like, credit to Paint for doing that. It's just Paint lost a recruiting battle and he went with his backup plan and the backup plan, and it turned out great.
You give Painter credit for having a backup plan as good as Braden Smith. But, yeah, I just think there's a lot of luck involved in a lot of things. And obviously, in hindsight, having Braden Smith for 4 years instead of Nigel Pack for 2 years was definitely a better outcome for Purdue fans. Berner says, so Purdue fans have self-proclaimed they have a complex, and I found out the hard way a few times. What about MSU fans having a complex too? Shout out Spartan Dog. A lot of discussion in the Discord this morning, you were going to war with Spartan Dog.
Yeah, I'm taking a week off from being an MSU fan, speaking on it. I'm going to just be a fan in silence.
Okay. You keep it real.
No, I'm going to be a fan in silence. I'm just going to support my team. That's it.
I just like that we keep it real, and you definitely keep it real. Ju Bowie says, do your wives ever get jealous of your relationship? I just listened to you to plan a date to go ice skating together and say that you really missed each other after not talking for literally one evening. Very wholesome, though.
Yeah, they do.
It's accurate. I'm not lying.
Yeah, they definitely do.
I love my wife. Want to make that unequivocally clear.
I do, too. Like, my wife. I love your wife, too, but, like, I love mine.
I love your wife.
Relax.
I do.
I love your wife.
I'm really looking forward to going to the game with you Friday.
Another date night.
UK says, I disagree with today's opening comments. I do believe I can out Carter Carter. My leg up is that I am a generational hate watcher. This is back to Carter Idol. UK has announced that he's going to compete in the auditions to be the new Carter. Do you think that UK could out Carter you?
I still don't know anyone who's really out Cartering me, to be honest with you. And I have had a couple people saying that I fell off out of my hater bag, which honestly fired me up a little bit more. Like, if you guys think that I've reached my pinnacle of hate, you haven't seen anything yet.
I think if you didn't fall off as a hater, you would have given Spartan Dog the business verbally on this episode, though, instead of choose the no comment route. I'm going to take a week off. That, to me, tells you that you've lost something.
I don't want to lose a Discord member.
I appreciate that. That's a good call. Who are the most dangerous Carters to you in the Carter competition? Like, are there any Carters you have your eye on that could pose some matchup problems for you as a Carter?
To be honest, no, because even like because obviously I have my weak points that you point out so eloquently a lot, you know, mental warfare, card games, things of that nature.
Lying. Lying.
Anywho, I think that I more so make up for it in the fact that I got a lot of experience being Carter. That's the thing. Like, there's a couple folks out there who I think have maybe had a short spurt of Carter, like had a year of Carter, like a freshman year Connor Asijan being Carter, but they always fall back or come to the mean of like second year Connor Asijan.
Do you think you have more experience being Carter than Vince Carter?
Yeah, because Carter is his last name.
Oh.
And he can jump high.
That's not a job qualification for our Carter.
It's not?
To jump high?
Yeah.
No.
All right, then I'm good then.
Yeah, you should be all right. Regress says, is basketball coaching in America becoming too sexualized? Is basketball coaching in America becoming too sexualized?
Like, what, we want to hook up with Matt Painter? What are we talking about?
No, like, Dusty May, I keep saying how handsome he is. We always say, like, Fred Hoiberg, he's handsome. Is he just handsome, or is he a good coach?
Okay.
That okay was one of the funniest things you've ever done. I know you didn't try to.
I don't really know how to answer this. That's the thing.
You're so uncomfortable. You go, okay.
I don't know how to answer that. Can you take it?
Yeah, I think basketball coaching in America is actually not sexualized enough. Dusty May is so handsome. I cannot express that clearly enough. I can't wait to see this guy in person. It's been far too long since I've had a handsome head coach. Like, I have to go back to the Tommy Amaker days for the last time I felt like my coach was going to win the handsome battle with the guy on the other end of the sidelines. So, very excited about that. I'll go so far as to say there's only one coach in the Big Ten that Dusty will not immediately out-handsome, and that means something to me in a big way.
Only what Hoiberg and Collins?
Just Hoiberg. Dusty. Dusty puts like Collins in the dirt, handsome-wise.
They're twins.
No, God, no.
Also, I hate that you're putting me in this position. Do I have
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To defend Juwan in this case? Like, maybe he's not a good basketball coach, but he put that shit on.
He had fits. You can have fits and not be handsome. In fact, I like to think that myself in real life, I can get a fit off despite being a non-handsome man.
What's the next comment?
Now, I'd like to spend more time on this, actually, because I want to make it really, this is true. Dusty May is also Boca handsome, which by the transitive property, imagine what happens to him when he gets to Ann Arbor.
Dusty might be a Hugo Boss merchant.
Dusty's going to walk the streets of Ann Arbor and nobody's going to even know what hit them.
I got a theory, though, that it's really not that hard to look handsome if you got a nice quarter zip.
Well, he's quarter zip, but he's tan. He's got great hair. He's strong, too. You can see, he's been in the gym.
This is insane.
I love Dusty May. Rowlett, Texas Boiler says, what do we think about May and Sprinkle to the Big Ten next year? Oh, yeah, Danny Sprinkle to Washington, which is now a Big Ten school.
Is that official?
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay. I don't know if I saw the Thamel tweet. I got my Barzello notifications on, but I didn't see that.
Sprinkle's pretty handsome.
I think Sprinkle's a good coach. But is he handsome?
He's pretty handsome.
Regress is right. It has become too sexualized.
Let's get to the show.
I hated every minute of that.
Am I sexual? Okay. Woo! First topic today. Is madness dead? Did we get enough madness this year? Is it dead? Last year, everybody loved the parody. Everybody loved all the upsets, except for us. We said it sucked and we hated it and we wanted good teams. The gods rewarded us with a bunch of good teams. 13 of the top 16 teams in the country are still playing in the Sweet 16. The biggest Cinderellas in the Sweet 16 are two ACC schools, NC State and Clemson. Outside of NC State, who I think Clemson's not a Cinderella. They've been a pretty good basketball team this year. NC State's like the one truly can't believe they're here team. Which begs the question, is madness dead?
No, madness isn't dead. This is part of madness. Madness isn't always about the lower seeds winning. Maybe it's about the lower seed winning a game or two, sticking in a game. We had some madness. We did. We had Oakland win. We had Yale win a game. That was some cute level madness. And then we cut that out before we got to when we want the best teams in there. Look, I was the first one to complain about the games that took place. And I was like, oh, man, we really didn't have any madness on those Sunday slate of games. It was all just blowouts. And that did suck. But then I took a look at the Sweet 16 matchups and I couldn't help but smile ear to ear. There's so many good games that we're going to see between really good teams. And I think that's how it should be. So is madness dead? I don't know. Maybe. But if you think it's dead, just look at what we have in front of us. You can't deny that these matchups don't get you excited.
Such a glass half full outlook from you. I love this positive energy. I agree for the record. I want great basketball games with great basketball teams as the games dwindle. And that's what we have. I am excited for every single game in the Sweet 16.
Right. Greg, you're a coffee drinker. You're a black coffee drinker, though. So this might not apply to you as much. But, I like to put a little bit of something in my coffee to just, spruce it up a little bit. Maybe a little creamer, a little something, a little Splenda, Sweet and Low, anything of that variety. You can't put too much of that in there or else it just gets over. It just gets too sweet. It's too much going on. That's how I like my madness. We had two packets of Sweet and Low in my madness, and then we move forward with being able to consume my coffee. You know what I'm saying? We don't just need I don't need 3 or 4 9 seeds or double digit seeds making it to the Sweet 16. I'm good with that.
Yeah, it's too much Splenda. I love the coffee analogy for the record because, like, I will drink if you drop a sweetener in for me. If you drop a splash of milk, I'll drink it. Don't get me wrong. But the next day, I'm coming back to order my coffee black because that's what's best for me, even if it doesn't taste as good. We are now at the point where it's what's best for us as college basketball fans to see great college basketball being played. Every single game of the Sweet 16 onward is going to be great basketball unless NC State makes a national championship run. That would suck, but I don't think they're going to. And even if that happened, like, DJ Burns is fun and awesome. So, like, I could get behind it a little bit. The only thing I would say, I wish the games in the first round were more competitive. Like, I think the fair gripe is being like, damn, I wish we would have had close games with some of the Cinderellas. We really didn't have that many. Like, Grand Canyon against Alabama was close. Both Oakland games were really entertaining. Other than that, like, almost everything was a blowout. Like, Yale in the second round got just dog-walked by San Diego State. James Madison dog-walked by Duke. McNeese dog-walked by Gonzaga. You were really hoping that these teams would be more competitive, and they weren't. But to me, that is both an indictment on maybe the mid-majors, but also, like, credit to the best teams in the country for showing up. And Gonzaga and Duke are playing great basketball right now. What are you going to do? Like, there's a caliber difference there.
Right. Like you said, the more competitive the games could have been would have made for a little bit more excitement. But the end result is kind of what was wanted, I think.
I think if I could have picked this entire Sweet 16, not like predicting what was going to happen, but picked, like, what do I want? What do I want the Sweet 16 to be as a basketball fan? I might have picked this exact thing just with James Madison beating Oakland beating NC State.
I think I would have rather had Kentucky there. But besides that, I'm in.
Yeah, like, maybe one or two teams we wish were better. Like, Baylor might be more fun to watch than Clemson. But, like, we have great teams everywhere. And then I would have liked Oakland over NC State just for the, like, keep watching Jack Golke for a week would have been fun. But I don't think any of the mid-majors that lost this week, I'm not, like, itching to keep watching after what I saw from this weekend, you know?
Right. Like, could you – I mean, you saw what San Diego State did to Yale. Could you imagine what UConn would do to them?
Yeah. Like, Pulukevas is fun. He's not that fun, you know, like,
kind of, he's kind of fun. It's
like Golkey's fun. Do we really need to see Campy drop another late game set here?
Right. Like, it's, by the way, whatever that was, I still need answers.
Do we need to see Rocket Watts with the ball in crunch time more? Like,
yeah, I still need answers to that. It's like, everything's good in moderation. Like I said, I can make a bunch of more analogies about this.
Can I get three more analogies about this quickly?
Okay, like, for me, as not, like, a super beer drinker, like, not a super, like, fancy beer drinker, I'm good with, like, some type of variation, like, a little bit of a difference. But I don't want you just pumping me full of Guinness. Pause. Like, I'm good with one Guinness from TP. That's about it when I need one, when I feel the need for a Guinness. I don't need an 8-pack of Guinness. Mm-hmm. Do you need some more out of
me? Yeah, it's a good one. I'd like two more analogies, if you don't mind.
Okay, let's see what else we got here. Okay, I got another one for you. Obviously, you just want to overload on sweets because sweets are great, right? This might be a bad one for you because you'll just house, like, a thing of Chips Ahoy and not think twice about it. Do you still have Chips Ahoy down there with you? Are you eating
Reese's eggs today?
See, I was going to say, like, a couple Reese's eggs, but, like, mix in something else. Like, don't just house 20 Reese's eggs. I'm sorry if that feels like a point of attack, but, like, those do look great, by the way.
Really good. Okay, that's two. Can I get a third analogy?
All right, here's a third one. Gregory, I love you. You know that. Like a brother. If we spent every single day together, we would probably kill each other. We need a little bit of a break, right? So it's like, this is the worst of my analogies, and I'm clamoring here because I realize this analogy doesn't really fit like I need it to. But what I'm saying is we need a little bit of break from each other. You need a little break from the madness so that you can get back to the greatness.
Okay. A couple things. First off, thank you for those analogies. Second off, that is going to be week one of Carter Idol, is I'm just going to give people, like, analogy props, and you need to hit me with three in 60 seconds. Otherwise you're eliminated. That'll be electric. You're special. Third, I just push back. I wouldn't get sick of you, but that's okay. I get
it. How long do you think it would take? I think there'd be something there.
I mean, we've definitely like hit a point of like, I like, let's give each other a day off or two before, but like, there's not ever been a moment where I'm like, I'm sick of Carter. I can't do this.
Yeah. Also, like in theory of that, I feel like maybe we're special in the regards that that point might not come.
Yeah. That's what's special about us.
When you drive to Lincoln, Nebraska with somebody and then drive to Iowa, I feel like you can do anything.
Yeah. I'm always ready for the next drive with you, Cart. Always.
That was touching for real.
Thanks. Yeah. Final point on the madness for me. Madness can't be madness without being unpredictable. And sometimes madness needs to not occur in order for madness to still be madness. Because if we knew that madness was going to come, it wouldn't be madness anymore. It would just be upsets. Madness only occurs when there's the chance that madness might not happen. That's what makes it special. So this is a humbling moment for all those Cinderella watchers that want madness. I'll take great basketball as a consolation. That's what we have for the Sweet 16. Fun segment. That turned out a lot better than I thought it would be when we listed that as a topic this morning. I enjoyed that. To the next topic, I want to do the Sweet 16 watchability rankings. I'll pull up the bracket here. And what's the like Michelin restaurant stuff? Like you get 5 stars if you're a fancy restaurant. I want you to give me 5-star to 0-star ratings for watchability for each of these games.
Greg, the Michelin star, the Michelin ranking is not stars. Restaurants are defined by stars, like it's a 5-star, 3-star restaurant. But what the Michelin is it is a Michelin restaurant. It's not it's not a star, like, you know, index.
Got it. I should not have ever doubted your knowledge of restaurants.
Watch the bear.
All right. So am I allowed to do 5 stars then? Like, because I need a star rating scale from you on this.
Oh, yes, we can, because this is our show. We can do whatever we want.
Okay. So you're going to give me 0 to 5 stars for each of these ratings or each of these games on how watchable they are. So let's start. UConn versus San Diego State.
One.
That's brutal. Isn't watching UConn play anybody at least a 2? Like, they're fun. They're fun to watch.
I'll give it a 2 because I'm intrigued to see the Ladie and Klingon matchup, because I think they do match up in this game. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but I don't know. Nothing about San Diego State makes me want to watch them play, to be honest, like just to be straight up.
Yeah. I think they're going to get blitzed too, so that doesn't help. I'll give it a 2-star just because UConn playing anybody is worth watching because it's UConn. But yeah, after 10 minutes, I don't think this is going to be very watchable. It's going to be flipped. Like, hey, you want to watch a show or something, honey? Like, that's the time. Next one, Illinois, Iowa State.
I might be showing my homer. I think this is a 5.
It's a 5-star. This is the game of the weekend for me, like by far. The contrast of styles, the star
number one defense, number one offense, star power, Underwood, Ots.
Yeah.
Like, squirt guns, tiny polo muscles. Like, you got a little bit of everything here. Also, sneaky, sneaky underlying story in here. Iowa State has like a real like plugged in like Chicago recruiting pipeline. They get a lot of good players out of like Chicago Midwest area. So it's like that's a little sprinkle under there too as well.
Yeah. 2 coaches trying to make it further than they've ever made it in March too. Like one of them's going to kind of keep getting over the hump as this continues. It's exciting. Yes. I can't wait. It's going to be by far the most fun game to watch. I cannot wait. I'm so excited for it. North Carolina, Alabama.
This is a 4 for me.
I think it's a 5 for me. So let's give it a 4.5. Just incredible offense, right?
True. And then like you have Sears and Davis. Like that's going to be great. Just a lot of great matchups across the board. To be honest, a lot of talent, a lot of fun offenses. Like, I think it's going to be a really good game.
2 men in really colorful suit jackets.
Yeah, great suit setup.
Yeah. Now, Mark Sears, RJ Davis is going to be really fun. Like, really, really fun.
Like, when you also, we didn't mention this when we were talking about, like, the watchability. All, like, the first team All-Americans are still in the tournament.
Gotta love that. We could be doing last year right now where we had, like, I don't even remember who, but like
we're talking about who's going to win the matchup between Brian Greenlee and I don't even know. Like,
hey, that's my future shooting guard. Chill, okay? Clemson, Arizona.
I think a three.
Yeah, I think three is fair. I could have been talked into higher, but Clemson just has a little bit of Team of Destiny vibes to me right now, which makes them worth watching. And Arizona is usually fun to watch. Usually.
Yeah, Arizona's fun to watch. And then, like, Clemson's got some shit going to them, right? Like, Shifley's playing really good ball. PJ Hall is PJ Hall. And now, like, Chase Hunter's, like, playing really good basketball at the guard spot. Like, they got something there.
Counterpoint, Caleb Love's not always fun to watch. But watching Caleb Love potentially lose to Joe Girard, PJ Hall, and Shefflin would be hilarious.
Why are Caleb Love's misses so, like, dangerous?
They're not fun to watch.
They just, like, hit the rim so hard when he misses.
Yeah, they're really loud. They're extremely loud misses.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Houston and Duke. God, these matchups are great.
Five.
It's a five. It's an automatic five. And I want to give a shout out. I think it was Regress in the Discord has a theory that I'm absolutely running with all week. Duke being soft works in their favor in this game.
It works in their favor?
Because Houston is never soft. Houston's going to foul them a bunch. Duke's going to flop and get calls for being soft.
Ooh.
It's a great theory.
It's a great theory, but I also hate that now I'm thinking that this game might come down to how it's refereed, and I hate that.
Benefit Duke. I think we already did it. I think Duke wins this. That was my prediction. So five star, though. Great game. Can't wait. NC State Marquette.
I'm showing a little bias here. I'm giving this game a four because I think DJ Burns is fun. I think Marquette's playing good.
It's an absurd answer. It's a two for me. The only thing that makes this one watchable for me is seeing if Shaka Smart's going to blow it again. That's fun.
Wow. That's fun to you?
Well, I enjoyed Marquette, Colorado, not because I thought it was great basketball, but because, like, oh, here comes Shaka again. Here goes. And then Kolick made some big plays late, so. Give him credit.
Shaka's energy is not where I want it to be.
And then he cried in the post game for getting to the Sweet 16 after beating Colorado
and Western Kentucky.
He cried.
Okay, this I want to bump this back down to a two.
But he cried it like I kind of love that he cried. Like it makes
okay,
it
three because we support emotion and showing emotions, and DJ Burns is fat.
We're gonna give him a three. This is a three for watchability. Down to the bottom half. I mean, this region's insane, and we're going to be in the building for it. Purdue Gonzaga.
That's five.
It's a four. It's not a five. Which means by default, it's a 4.5. Purdue games cannot be a five because there's always the threat that it's going to be a ref show.
That's true.
It by default cannot get a five-star rating because it could just be a ref show.
If we do get a matchup of Purdue-UConn, is that five?
No, it's a four because
it can never be a five.
There is no way for Zach Edey Purdue to get a five on the watchability rankings because it could always be a ref show. That's not Purdue's fault. It's just the reality that you are at higher risk for exposure to ref show, which makes it unsafe to be a five. That's how
Damn it works.
Yeah, tough luck. Creighton, Tennessee.
I think that's a five for me.
It's a five. The contrast of styles, Creighton run and gun offense, Tennessee physicality defense, Dalton Connect. Who's guarding Connect here? There's no one on Creighton that can even sniff Connect. Like, he should get 40 in this game.
Yeah, I don't even know. You can't put Shireman on him. It has to be Trey Alexander, I think, and Trey Alexander's not tall enough.
Connect's going to get 45 if Trey Alexander gets that assignment. Like, they're going to have to double. They're literally going to have to double. And there's... It's going to be so fun. I can't wait. And meanwhile, on the other end, we get Ashworth trying to figure out Sakai Ziegler. Like, it's going to be so fun. I can't wait. This week's going to be awesome. I love it. Okay, to the final topic. Most important player on each team in the Sweet 16. This is not who their best player is, although it could be their best player. We're going to frame this as if who is the most important player towards this team making it to a Final Four. So win two more games. I would have done national championship, but I don't think every team here has a realistic path to a national championship. So we're going to keep it realistic. Every team in the tournament at this point could win two more games and make a Final Four. Who is the most important player on each team to help them do so? Start in the East and work our way down. UConn, who's the most important player to make a Final Four?
I'm going to say Cam Spencer because I think there's a direct correlation of Cam Spencer playing well and them winning games.
I would have said that for the course of the season. I think at this point it's matchup dependent, and I think it's Klingon, because if Klingon just erases Ladie, they win. And then in the next game, same thing versus Iowa State. If he dominates, they win. And if it's Illinois, the game comes down to can Klingon stay on the court or not? Can he guard the perimeter?
Greg, I don't ask for much. Actually, I do ask for a lot. But if I could not ask for a lot, I need Dane Klingon like I need air to breathe.
Could happen. Would be fun. It might go the same way.
I cut off a very reasonable amount of my toes where I could still function if I could get Dane Klingon.
What's the fewest number of toes you think you could function with?
Well, like, you obviously, you need your big toe. Your big toe is what is that. If you don't have your big toes, you can't balance. You'll fall over all the time.
Yeah, that's giving a lot of credit to the big toe.
No, I mean, that's just an anatomical thing. It's about
balance. Also, feels also, more about the arches.
Also, the word is not anatomical. It's an anatomy thing.
Anatomical?
Thank you. If you don't have your big toe, you will fall over.
Don't think I believe you.
I swear, you can look it up.
I think that's more about arches and heels than it is the toe. You're giving a lot of credit to the toe.
I'm just saying, like, if I could keep my big toe, I'd be willing to honestly do without every, like, just give me, let me keep my big toes and my pinky toe.
We're so stupid, man. We're one team into this exercise and we just get 3 minutes of do you need your big toe dialogue. San Diego State, who's the most important player? We crack a smile as we do this.
Lindy.
I think it's Tramell. Are we ever going to agree on any of this? I think if Tramell goes nuclear and plays great, it elevates this team. Lindy, you know what you're going to get.
Okay, but all right. I think I need to change my thought process on here a little bit. But also, if I'm more aligned with you, wouldn't it be Butler instead of Tramell?
Could be. I think Tramell, to me, is just more – it would be more surprising if Tramell's great offensively. That's why.
It would be surprising.
Yeah. I'm now going to do a bit where I pick a different player than the player you say for every single team we do here. Illinois.
You go first.
No, nope. Uh-uh. Illinois.
I'm going to say Coleman.
Why?
Just because I think when Coleman does the thing where he fills the stat sheet, I think it makes it a lot easier on guys like Shannon and Damask from just doing the two-man superstar-y thing. Him being a third piece, a third option that is knocking down shots at the clip he is, affecting the game defensively, offensively, initiating things, making passes, I just think he touches so many – box score portions of the game that him no showing, I think, would put more pressure on like other guys having to do things. And I don't really have trust in like the Gary Gays of the world doing something.
Okay. Here's my thing. I'm going Marcus Damask. I think that I actually trust Coleman more than Damask right now, which probably sounds crazy, but to me, you're getting Coleman no matter what at this point. You're getting good and bad Coleman. He's the same guy every single game. There's going to be good moments. There's going to be bad moments. He will impact the game. His fingerprints will be on it. The thing about being a team built around two superstars is you need both superstars to superstar. Damask has now done it twice in this tournament. He had a triple-double and then a great scoring game. We have also seen Damask go quiet a few times, a few rare times in the past month. If Damask goes quiet, Illinois becomes completely less dangerous than they are if they have Shannon and Damask going at the same time. So for that reason, I think Damask is the most important player on this team down the stretch. And I'm very curious, against Iowa State, the number one defense in the country, are they going to get to Damask a little bit? Is the physicality going to impact him? I think it could. In a way that he hasn't seen in Big Ten play thus far. We'll see. Iowa State, most important player.
Gilbert.
Just they need his scoring.
I think they need his scoring, and I think that he has the ability to be that scorer too. I'd also go – probably second would be Munchilovich, but I think I'm going Gilbert. That was the first one that came to my head.
I'm going Lipsy because I think Iowa State's best path to winning these two games, which are gauntlet games, by the way, beat Illinois and then need to beat UConn, is by having their star point guard be a total superstar. I think that's – he needs to be all over this game, like best player on the court in both games.
Against a team without a point guard.
Right. And if he's not capable of doing that, I think their tournament run will end very quickly here. North Carolina, most important player on the floor.
I think it's Ingram.
It's RJ.
That goes against your whole thought process this whole time, I feel like, though.
You're going toe-to-toe with Sears. RJ needs to beat Sears. That's if RJ's a better player than Sears in that game, you're in the Elite Eight, and then it's RJ versus Caleb Love. You're telling me there's a different player more important than RJ in that matchup?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, yeah, it's got to be that. I like Harrison is very important, though, because he has a wide range of outcomes. But to me, this next two-game stretch is about is RJ being the best guard on the floor or not. On the flip side, Alabama.
Sears.
I think that's probably the right answer, but for the sake of my bit.
I don't like that you're doing different. Why can't we agree?
I think it's Estrada because Estrada was a disaster last game and they still found a way to win. So, like, if Estrada does that again, they go home, no matter how good Sears is.
Mm. Okay.
They need something from him.
He's so inconsistent.
I really don't like his game. I really don't. I don't know how Alabama – play fans do this all the time, but he also like he's capable of a high ceiling game. If he plays good, they move on. Clemson, most important player on the floor.
I think it's Gerard.
I had two names in mind and he's not one of the two. Why is it Gerard?
Just because I think consistently what you've been getting from Shiflin's, PJ Halls, and Hunters of the world, I just think that Gerard could be a swing piece as like a fourth guy if he's able to do the Gerard thing. Like, when's the last time we've had like a Joe Gerard like bang five threes game? Like, I feel like it's been a minute.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a while too. You're right. Okay, I don't hate that. I'm gonna take the easy answer here and say it's PJ Hall. PJ hasn't had a crazy scoring game in the tournament yet, and when you project what's gonna happen against Arizona, they need to draw Balo out of the paint a little bit. PJ Hall is a stretch big who can do that. So I think if you get a superstar performance from PJ, this run can continue. If he has like 19 against Arizona, I think they're in trouble, which is where he's been.
You think Balo draws that assignment?
Balo will be on Shefflin to start, but I think they need to force their hand a little bit and find ways for PJ to take on the traditional big offensively.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay, Arizona, most important player.
This might be awful from what you're thinking. I think it's Jaden Bradley.
That's crazy.
Only because of this. Kylan Boswell is so inconsistent that they have to like throw Bradley into the game all the time. And like, yes, we know Caleb Love is Caleb Love and he's obviously gonna be a swing piece in any case. But like with Boswell's inconsistencies, them being able to put in Bradley to kind of just like steady things and play solid basketball, I think levels things out for them. Like if Bradley doesn't do what he does against Dayton, I think they lose that game, honestly.
I think you're right. Bradley's good. I like him. To me, that answer would mean your answer should be Boswell, though. Like, they need him to play well more than they need the guy they bring in because their point guard's not playing well to play well. The answer for Arizona all the time is Caleb Love. Always. There is no more important player on the floor because if Caleb Love's awful, you're losing. That's it. They need him to keep this run of good play. He's had two straight good games. We'll see if that continues. We're going to start at the bottom of the other side and work our way up. Tennessee.
I'm going to say Ziegler. I think it's someone giving Connect some help offensively. And also, you know, Zakai Ziegler can be such a disruptive force defensively at the point guard as well. But if he can add some ball distribution things and some offensive firepower to his game, which he was showing for a good amount of time there. I think, you know, if we do the whole pick and stats thing, there was like since the February 1st, he was averaging like 6 or 7 assists a game. I think that's massive. So I think any offensive punch that he can provide, I think could be a swing piece and make it very important. And I trust him more than Vescovi in my eyes to be more of an offensive threat.
It's a good answer. Would have been my backup answer. I'm going Connect. for the simple fact that Connecticut can't have a bad game like you did again against Texas. And their best chance to get through this gauntlet of Creighton and Purdue to me is have Connecticut be the best player on the floor, average 35 to 40. Otherwise, if he only gets 25, I think they're going to lose to Purdue at minimum. So Creighton.
I want to pick the same as you, but I know you're going to do different. I'm going to say Ashworth. I'm going to say Ashworth. I'm going to say Ashworth. And this is on the same lines of, I know what I'm getting with Kolk. I know what I'm getting with Shireman. I know what I'm getting with Trey Alexander. If you can just give me Ashworth where he's hitting three threes, four threes, and just being solid, I think that'll swing things for me with Creighton.
Okay. I like that. Also a good answer. Would have been my backup answer. I think Kolk is the answer because I don't trust any of the other Creighton players defensively, especially in a matchup with Tennessee and what they can be physically. I think Kolk has to be a complete eraser at the rim, and he's going to be tasked with trying to make life hard on Edie if they get through the first game against Tennessee. Kolk needs to be the dominant All-American version of Kolk and not just a guy who we have talked about it before. Isn't necessarily the strongest guy. He isn't exactly a guy who imposes his will on the game. There's no way Creighton makes a Final Four if he doesn't do that these next two games.
True. He needs to be dominant on both ends of the floor.
Has to. Gonzaga.
It's got to be EK, I think.
Because of the matchup with Edie?
The matchup with Edie. He's got to do, he's got to put pressure on Edie somehow. And I saw him struggle with like the likes of Mitchell Saxon of St. Mary's, which doesn't make me feel great about what he can do with the likes of Edie, but he has to put pressure on Edie. And I'm not saying he's got to win that matchup, but he's got to give them something.
So I think there's no way he does, which is why my answer is Ryan Nembhard, because I think Ryan Nembhard can win his matchup with Braden Smith. And that's their best path forward in the Purdue game, is have a Nembhard brother be a Nembhard brother at point guard in the NCAA tournament. We'll do a preview of Purdue Gonzaga that'll get more into it, but I just don't see a world where EK like wins his matchup with Edie. So all comes down to the point guard. Purdue is an interesting one. Who's the most important player for Purdue to make a Final Four?
Fletch.
Really? What?
I mean, we could say the easy answer of Braden, but once again, I think I know what I'm getting with Braden and Edie. I need a third. I don't trust Lance Jones. I need Fletch.
Would the swing piece be Lance then, though? Like if you're going that route, don't you know what you're getting with Fletch and you need Lance?
Well, if that's the case, then Purdue's not making a Final Four. Lance is a swing piece. So, like, which way do you want it?
It's crazy. I'm going to not overthink this one. Going to not overthink it. It's Edie. Zach Edie's current first two-game, first half run is absurd. I tweeted it out. And if Zach Edie continues to do this in 20-minute stretches, like, we're talking the greatest college basketball postseason run ever. So that's, to me, like, if he does that, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. There's no answer for that. He's unstoppable. Nice. To the top of the bracket where we have Marquette, NC State. Who is Marquette's most important player?
Oso.
This started out as a bit, and now it's not a bit. Like, I'm on the opposite side. I think it's Kolick.
Why Kolick, though?
Star got a superstar.
Also got to be fat phobic.
Loving this narrative from you. I just think Kolick has been the best player on the floor the last couple games. He needs to keep doing it. NC State?
Probably DJ Horn.
I was going to say it's Burns. I got scared we were going to have the same one. Why is it Horn and not Burns?
Because I think Burns is going to struggle in this game.
My answer is Burns. I think if he struggles, their season's over.
I think he is going to struggle.
Me too. But, like, there's no way they win this game if he struggles, so they need it. Okay, top two. These ones could also be interesting. Duke and Houston. Most important player for Duke.
I think it's McCain. I think if McCain is, like, if McCain's the best guard, if he's playing like he was in that JMU game, and he's playing like the best guard on the floor, and he wins the guard matchup, I count on Flip to do his thing down low. And I think that's the best version of Duke is when McCain is their best guard.
I agree with that. They're playing great. I would say, I think it's Flip. I think Flip is the answer, because this game entirely comes down to, is Duke physically prepared for the challenge of Houston and their physicality? And to me, Flip sets the tone of that. It's not any of the guards. It's not McCain. It is Flip flopping, and is he falling, and is he complaining, or is Flip like punking dudes? And in the James Madison game, Flip set the tone early. He was punking dudes. So if Flip comes out like that and is destroying Juwan Roberts and the Houston bigs, okay, Duke's here. If Flip is crying and getting punked, it's probably over. And to the final team, Houston. Who's the most important player on Houston?
Shed.
Yeah, it's Jamal Shed.
Hey.
Made it all the way to the end, and here we are. Yeah, it's Jamal Shed without question.
Yeah, he's got to be able to dominate the game on both ends of the floor. My backup option actually would have been Juwan Roberts, just very matchup dependent in this game. I think if he can have Flip, you know, hitting the Flip phone and calling the authorities to report something, he could throw him off his pivot.
I feel bad for Roberts, because I think he's just hurt. He was like clearly limping last game. But even beyond the Duke game, like if Houston beats Duke, the Marquette matchup is entirely what can Shed do to Kolick. So it's got to be Shed. That'd be fun.
I can tell you what he can do.
That would be really, really fun. All right, fun exercise. Good show today. Lots of fun topics. One big thing presented by Bigby. What do you got?
My one big thing is it's more so of a question. When did like the cereal business fall off? Like, when's the last time you had a bowl of cereal?
What do you want from me, man? Is this like a cereal expose? I mean, you act like cereal doesn't exist because you don't like cereal.
I do like cereal. I just hate that like cereal is just so bad for you.
I had cereal yesterday. I had Cheerios. It wasn't bad for me.
What'd you have? Like just regular Cheerios?
Bowl of Cheerios, yeah. What's wrong with that?
I mean, most cereals just have like all like it's like healthier to eat a brownie than it is to eat a bowl of cereal.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cereal. Hmm. Yeah, I don't think what you realize, Gregory, is that you had the luxury, and it's not necessarily the greatest luxury, but you had the luxury. Everything that I put in my body will put weight on me, no matter what I put in. I can't afford a bowl of cereal. I'm a bowl of cereal away from being DJ Burns, and I might be DJ Burns already. That's the thing, and I hate it.
All right. You look great. You've been in the gym for forever. You look great. I think you're closer to Cliff Amorie right now than you are DJ Burns.
I can't be close to Cliff Amorie, because if I get close, I'm probably not going to be a version of myself that you will like.
We have always said the day that you start an OnlyFans will be the day that Sleepers takes off.
Yeah, like imagine like we're arguing and like I'm in like elite shape. Like I'm talking like I don't wear shirts anywhere type shape. There's a good chance we're arguing about like where a transfer goes, and I literally just tell you to shut up that I'm more ripped than you. Yeah, and there's really nothing you can do to that.
I wouldn't argue with you if that's the shape you were in, to be clear. Like I have enough self-awareness to not pick arguments with someone who looks like that.
Okay. Well, just throwing it out there.
Okay.
Also, part of this exercise was you not having cereal recently, and that just went to shit. So,
well, yeah, what did you expect? Again, this is a classic you don't know me situation. We've spent so many trips time together, and you act like you have this the belief of who I am. You are not aware of who I am. I love cereal. I eat cereal all the time, and you know this. So for you to come in with an anti-cereal agenda that started with when's the last time you ate cereal was insane.
Have you ever eaten a bowl of cereal with me in your presence, though?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Might have to change that. We'll see. You bring the deck of cards to Phoenix. I'll bring a bowl of cereal on the flight. It could be fun. My one big thing is a simple question for you, Cart. Do you know who manages Aaron Bradshaw?
Yeah, Clutch.
Do you know who manages Dusty May?
Is it Clutch? I mean, who does Clutch not manage?
A lot of people.
I mean, they manage a lot of people, too. I mean, what other Clutch clients are we looking at here?
Is there anyone associated with the current Michigan State basketball program that's represented by Clutch?
Yes.
Who?
A Book.
He's managed by Clutch?
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Did I get the stats and research department to fact check that one?
I 100% can. Hold on. I'm pretty sure it's in his IG bio, but let me look. I do remember them announcing it. That's why I was getting scared when the transfer rumors are out there, because like he announced that he was with, yeah, he's with Clutch Sports.
Oh, interesting. So wait, let me pivot this then. Who is Xavier Booker managed by?
Clutch.
Who is Dusty May managed by?
Clutch.
Huh.
Where is Xavier Booker from?
Michigan. Well, Indiana.
Where's Dusty May from?
Indiana. Currently lives in Michigan. Where does Dusty May currently live?
Huh. Boca?
Just seeing a lot of, you know, 13 scholarships to fill is a lot of scholarships, is all. Right now I got Barnheiser, Bradshaw, Book as my top three. Don't worry, Nelly and Elijah and Vlad, we've got room for you. Don't you worry, my friends. But just trying to, you know, supplement, fill some spots around you, help you win a national championship.
We've got plenty of room for players that finish third in the American.
8 seed. What seed did you get?
8.
You got 8?
Mm-hmm.
No, you got a 9.
9.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. But like I said, anytime you can get a coach and a players that finish third in the American Conference, you got to say yes.
Do you think Dusty May will die trying to get back to a Final Four? Does he want it that bad?
I think Dusty A. May will do whatever he possibly can to make sure that the refs give him a call that gets him back to a Final Four.
I like my team, man. I don't even have my team, and I love my team right now. Like,
I'm happy you love your team. I'm happy you love your team. I'm very happy that you are a part of a team with a guy who had a Final Four run for the ages and one of the worst tournaments that we've ever had in college basketball, and that he made it that far.
Is it better to make a Final Four run in one of the worst tournaments that college basketball has ever had, or is it better to make a Final Four run in a year where there is no NCAA tournament because of a global pandemic?
I don't know. I think that's a personal opinion.
Cassius Winston's senior year Final Four one was special.
Enjoy 9 turnover Nelly.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to be devastated when Nelly announces he's going to Gonzaga in a week. Like right now, all the chips are on Nelly Davis. Thanks for watching. We'll be back tomorrow.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.